63.
Welcome back to part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service. Now here's Phil Wayne with the Market Scope.
Thanks, Fred, and welcome to Market Scope for July 1999. I'm Phil Wayne, here in my usual slot, beginning the B-side of your cassette. And as promised, we join Mark Marino as we finish our look at radio in Plant City, Florida.
And music isn't the only thing you'll hear on the Panama City FM dial. At 101.1, they've got a full-blown talk station.
Looking at your show this morning,
yes.
I thought Gene Autry had died.
Get your head out of bed. It's Imus in the Morning on Talk Radio 101.
Here's the latest news from Florida's radio network. I'm Larry Spillman. The Florida Keys may be back open for business, but FRN's Catherine Lister reports for thousands of residents it's anything but business as usual.
With more on that, here's blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Want to make more sense out of all this? Keep it here.
Talk Radio 101.
Talk Radio 101.1 FM weather brought to you by Fohan's Furniture on the corner of 10th and Harrison, downtown Panama City. Open Monday through Saturday, Fohan's Furniture. Cloudy, 50% chance of rain on and off throughout the day, the high 83. 30% chance of rain tonight, the low 65. And a mix of sun and clouds, 30% chance of rain tomorrow, the high 80. Currently raining, 73. Blue flags are flying. It's time to get back to Imus in the Morning on Talk Radio 101, the FM talk station.
This morning, and we are at the Ramada Inn in the main ballroom here in south of Burlington, Vermont.
Less talk and more classic rock and roll hits. Every hour, every day.
Woohoo! Look at him go!
On Eagle 102.1. WWAV. Santa Rosa Beach, South Walton, Fort Walton, John Boy Walton, Wright, Destin, and damn near everywhere else in Northwest Florida. Now another hour of rock and roll classics.
Quiet numbskulls, I'm broadcasting
on Eagle 102.1. Rock and roll classics are what we do.
All classic rock and roll hits.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
With less talk.
Eagle 102.1.
Good morning, world!
Mix 103!
The new Mix 103 with a 50-50 music mix of the 80s and 90s.
A 50-50 music mix of the 80s and 90s. The new Mix 103.
We caught Mix 103 while they were doing a Brain Buster contest.
Hi, Mix 103. Good morning.
Putting on makeup while you're driving?
Yeah.
<Do-do>.
Thank you very much. That's exactly what it is.
Now, do you ever do this? Yay! Do you ever do this?
Yes.
Okay. You shouldn't put on mascara.
Let me ask you something, man. What is the most frightened you've ever been while doing this and suddenly realizing that you were about to be in an accident?
Never.
Ever?
Never.
You've never, while doing this, suddenly looked up and the car in front of you had put on their brakes?
No.
Well, who is this?
Terry.
Hi, Terry. Boy, you nailed that one real quick, huh?
Yeah. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
Didn't have to think about that
line
a long time.
I'm glad line 5 wasn't there.
Do what?
I said I'm glad line 5 wasn't there.
Yeah.
Terry pays attention.
Well, Terry, good morning to you. What do we have for us, Susie, for being so smart and so astute as to nail that answer in the first guess this morning?
Well, Terry, I tell you what, we got a pair of delicious dinners from Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. They celebrated their birthday last month, but we're still helping them celebrate.
Okay.
How does that sound?
Great.
It's delicious food, too.
Terry, congratulations to you, okay?
Hang on. Thank you.
You hang on a second, okay?
Okay.
All right, listen, we got $1,100 cash in the Mix 103 Secret Sound Jackpot that we'll give you an opportunity to win here in the next 7 minutes, okay? So keep it locked to Mix 103.
Three more stations to go in the Panama City market. Another country station coming at you from 105.1.
Down in St. Petersburg yesterday, 100 people stung by stingrays.
Ooh.
They've been washed up there by Hurricane George.
They like flounders. They like to bury themselves down there. You ever been floundering?
Yes, now that I have done.
With a gig?
With a gigging, yeah.
With a gig. And a light?
Yep.
We go down there to Hogtown Bayou and throw down on some flounder.
I didn't do that.
We will.
Up in the Carolinas.
We'll bond. Me and you.
Cause see, the nice thing about it.
We can't go hunting because you're half blind. I'm afraid.
Believe it or not, though, I can probably handle the flounder gigging better than you can because vision doesn't really play that big a role in it.
The hell you say? You got to see this outline of the
But at night, when you can see it with the light, you're not distracted with the peripheral light of the day and what have you. So.
See, Van Horn, that's that. You get a couple of drinks down you and you start thinking that you're Superman and you can flounder better than me and, you know, I don't know. I can't help you.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Right. Up in Washington, D.C., the thing's continuing with poor
Speaking
Bill
of floundering.
speaking of a gig... You know, if they want to remove Bill Clinton from office, why don't they just remove the part that keeps getting him in trouble? Let's keep him in. Let's keep Big Bill and just get Little Bill out. Lorena Bobbitt.
That's one man's approach, I guess.
For Halloween this year, the biggest costume.
I heard about this.
The Monica Lewinsky look.
Let me ask a question. I can't imagine any mother letting her little girl go out of the house dressed as Monica. Well, I guess this is for adults.
She'll be dressed in a beret.
A blue dress.
With a stain. Fake pearls, and that gap, it's got to be from the Gap. Good Lord. The Monica Lewinsky look.
Welcome to America.
Ain't it just wonderful? What are you dressing up as Halloween?
Me? This year?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I've narrowed it down to a couple of things, but I don't know yet.
I'm going to dress up as the Root CEO and just be invisible.
Well, that should bring some attention later today, which will obviously come after you've left the building. I will get it.
We stay in trouble here. It's Wednesday morning. We'll take a look at a pretty good weather forecast. It's coming up on Cat Country 105.
This is the city. I carry a badge.
Today's best music, Ireland 106, Logan and Linda, and Madonna. Martha Graham. And express yourself. It's Logan and Linda, Doppler Radar. We got clouds. We got some showers in the forecast today and a high about 87. It's about 76 degrees right now.
Yes, sir.
And hang on here. We're going to get into something else here in a minute. But first of all, we got to backtrack. We don't want to promote ignorance on this show.
That's right.
At all. So a call in reference to a Battle of the Sexes mechanical question here.
This is in pertaining to your Battle of the Sexes question this morning about the master cylinder. It's not the reservoir. He was closest by saying brakes, but you guys wanted a specific answer.
Yeah. Thank you very much for clearing things up, buddy.
Okay, not a problem. Thanks.
There you go. So the master cylinder is not the reservoir for the brake fluid. It regulates the amount of brake fluid going into the brakes. There you go.
Okay.
Cool enough. All right, and today, in fact, all this week, a very special week. It's
Australia.
Hey, Alexis.
Uh-huh.
You're my winner.
Cool.
You just picked up a large one-topping pizza from Hungry Howie's. Congratulations.
All right.
What station hooked you up tonight?
I'm 106.
This here's a champ for all the fellas.
I give you a tip. If you're ever in Panama City, try Hungry Howie's. They're pretty fine.
Today's best music, Island 106. It's Kevin Cruz doing 30 minutes of commercial-free music. Brand new here from Alanis Morissette. This is called Thank You. You're welcome. Island 106.
How about getting off of these antibiotics?
Today's best music, Island 106. Kevin Cruz in the nighttime. What's up?
Yeah, I want to request a big pun.
Big pun.
Don't want to be a player.
Still don't want to be no player. Who's this?
Sasha.
Where are you calling from?
Panama City.
Crank this up. I still don't want to be a player. Big pun on Island 106.
Still don't want to be a player by Big Pun. Island 106.
Thank you. I just said that, though.
Whatever.
Don't want to be a player. I don't want to be playing no more. I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
Their call letters are WILN.
Island 106.
Here's a station that was so new they didn't have any disc jockeys yet.
Back-to-back light rock favorites, 10,000 songs in a row. Light rock, less talk all day long. Light 107.9. Light 107.9.
Listening to Panama City's newest radio station, bringing you light rock with less talk all day long. Light 107.9. WDRK, Panama City.
And that's going to do it for our look into the Panama City AM and FM radio market. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it just as much as I've enjoyed laying down the tracks. Until next time, this is Mark Marino saying bye for now.
Thanks, Mark. That wraps up our look at radio in Plant City, so we'll see you again next month as we explore another radio market. Now, here's the musings and the mumblings from the members.
The Musers.
Hi there, this is Mike Lance reporting from Miami Beach, Florida at 12:36 on Tuesday, the 25th of May, 1999, with a little bit of news for you. Number one, WGCQ 92.1. was a sports station, and now they are Southern Gospel. Also, in other news, WOTR in Kissimmee, Florida, formerly an Odie station at one time, has gone back to Spanish, which they were a long time ago. Also, WMIB 1480 in Naples, Immokalee area has gone to 1660. I goofed before. The core letters at 1480 or WODS, and it's in the Marco Island, Florida area. They are now at 1660 also. Okay, that's the latest news for now. And one more quick thing. Miami is flooded with pirate radio stations. There are many pirate stations in the Miami area. Thank you.
Hello, Fred and fellow DXers. This is Jonathan Milam from Welcome, North Carolina, about 20 minutes south of Winston-Salem. Today is Sunday, May 30th. Just wanted to inform you that there has been a call letter and format change to 1320 AM WTCK in Greensboro. Of course, WTCK was at one time simulcasting with WMFR in High Point. The new call letters are now WCOG, and the new format is a simulcast of 1380 AM WTOB in Winston-Salem, whose format is a combination of religious programming, news, and sports broadcasts. It is my understanding that Salem Media of North Carolina, which owns WTOB, has purchased the station in Greensboro to increase the coverage of WTOB. I think they might also broadcast some local sports events as well in Greensboro on the new station. That's it for now. 73s and good DX. Bye-bye.
Hello, Fred and DXers. This is the one and only Victor from Silver Spring, Maryland, speaking to you from the Schmidt House. I got a question. Last Friday, when WCBM 680 went to reduced power, and I don't get them at night, I didn't get the usual station that comes in WPTF in Raleigh. I got another station for the first time, WINR. They were playing big band type of music, music of your life. I never got a station ID. Either WPTF came back in, and I never got the ID. But when the station came back, I did hear a weather forecast from the WBNG TV Weather Center. That's who gave them the weather. Could someone please tell me, where is WINR 680, they play big band. Thank you.
Hi, Fred and audio service members. This is Skip Dabblestein calling from Phoenix with some information about the changing AM dial here in the valley. First, KOY has moved from 550 to 1230, knocking KISO off the air. KGME has moved its all-sports programming from 1360 to 550. The 1360 spot is now occupied by KFDJ, duplicating the programming of FMers KDDJ and KEDJ. And finally, KHEP on 1280 has just changed its call to KTKP. It was nice chatting with Tim Hendel during his recent visit to Arizona. Hope you're all having a good summer. That's it for now. Bye-bye.
This is Ernie Wesselowski in Omaha, Nebraska, reporting the new radio station on the X-band 1620 is now on the air testing. The official call letter is KAZP, Bellevue. However, they are using KGBW, Bellevue. They are simulcasting KOIL 1180 in Bellevue, Nebraska. They do not give a clear ID, and when I talk to them on the phone, they almost deny that they were even on the air. They are still in the testing period. Thank you, and have a good day. We'll see you in Bridgeport. Bye-bye.
Hey there, the Xers. This is Joshua that's calling from work in Reidsville, North Carolina, at 6:15 on Sunday, June the 6th. Just calling to let you know that apparently in our Greensboro area, there has been a call sign change. 1320 has went back to its old original call, WCOG. It's its old call, and it's gone back to it now. And it's also simulcasting, as it has done for the past 2 years or so now, simulcasting with a new station now. Simulcasting with 1380 WTOB in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Once again, it's WCOG 1320 is its old call. Now it's back to it. And it's simulcasting with WTOB 1380 in Winston-Salem. Have a good evening. See y'all later.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on June 9th. A possible answer to Mark Durenberger's question to the Beacon on 650. I've noticed that sometimes when stations have satellite programming, the satellite receiver somehow loses the signal coming into it, and when it does that, there's marker tones that get broadcast over the air, and I have some KDXU 890 in St. George, Utah, and some KSRO Santa Rosa marker tones from the satellite. I think that's what those are, although my satellite tones are higher in pitch than the 650 satellite tones. So that's what might be happening, is that might be a satellite marker tone. Happy DX.
This is Tim Hendel. On the night of June 10th at about 10:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time, there has been some interest as to how well WOWO gets out now that they're operating supposedly on reduced power. Well, I just happened to be cruising the AM band to see what was on, and I did discover, in fact, WOWO was a pretty good signal here in Huntsville, Alabama, except for the fact that 1190, like so many other frequencies, is no longer really a clear channel. I turned the other way, on the radio the other way, and was hearing, I believe, Dallas. But except for that fact, I would say the signal strength on WOWO was not that much different from what it has been in the past.
Hello, this is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. CKTY, 1110 AM in Sarnia, Ontario, went silent this morning. They are now 106.3 and New Rock. They were country for quite a time. CBL, 740, 50,000 watts for 48 years. CBC station went silent over this past weekend. And WNED, 970, Buffalo, New York, an educational station, may be going silent by about February if they can't get enough contributions to keep themselves afloat.
And that's our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. For Victor, the station WINR on 680 is in Binghamton, New York, and is 500 watts at night, so you did get a good catch there on that station. I also recently received a letter from Tim Hendel, which I thought was real good, so I thought I would read it for you at this time. It says, "Dear Fred, I have an idea. I feel it is too long to put on the Musings to the Members line, so I'm sending it to you. Maybe you'll feel it deserves to be read on the DX Audio Service and even published in the print version. I hope so. I was just listening to some satellite programming on a local talk station. The top of the hour came, and, you guessed it, they rolled right through the hour without even trying to do an ID, even though the satellite service inserted a pause when the pre-recorded ID could have been aired. I hear this more and more. To me, it's just sloppy radio. The National Federation of the Blind has little cards printed up with the guide dog law on them. If you are having trouble with a restaurant or other business not letting you in with your guide dog, you can give them one of these cards. What if we had some postcards with the FCC law regarding station identification printed on it, including the FCC rule part number and everything? We could mail out these cards to stations which continuously refuse to ID. I think mailing the card alone would probably be useless, but if we wrote a courteous letter saying that we are interested in better radio and include the card, maybe at least a few program directors would take heed. By the way, Fred, in your opinion, what is the reason stations seem so reluctant to identify? I'm not referring now to those who are just sloppy. I mean those which give their call but refuse to mention the city. Do programmers really think that if a station is out of the listener's city, he will stop listening? Say, oh, that station is in Toledo and I'm in Lima. Yes, I'm not supposed to listen to that. I'll tune away. This doesn't make any sense to me. If the signal is good and the station is programming something the listener wants to hear, why do they feel they need to hide the location of the station? I realize I'm addressing two separate issues here. My talk station just doesn't care. The station which gives call but no location has made a deliberate decision to do so. Signed, Tim Hendel. Well, you're right, Tim. There are two separate issues here. And I think that the one with the card in the letter does carry some merit. We'll have on our next DX Audio Service a little segment on our Science Edition dealing with sending a letter to the public file of a radio station to comment on some of those issues. So maybe this can be kind of dovetailed together. As far as giving the location of the station, I just don't know why stations don't do this. However, I have heard, at least in our area, more often a station, such as an FM station licensed to the city of Wapakoneta, which is 25 miles south of here, will give the city of license of Lima instead. I guess that's because they figure if they're a big town station, they're going to gain more listeners. I have no clue why a station would not want to mention its city of license, especially when it's a federal rule. The Federal Communications Commission is very insistent that it is a call sign followed by the city of license, after which you can say numerous cities which are in your coverage area, but it has to be call sign followed by the city of license. Anyone else have some thoughts on this issue? Why not give us a call on the Musings line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day.
You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.
Science!
Indecency. What is indecent when you refer to something heard on your radio? I know some people that utter four-letter words as an expression of frustration, exclamation, or sometimes just a matter of their common speech. However, I also know people that are shocked by such terms as darn it all. So, what is the benchmark for going over the line? What can and can't you say on the radio? Bob Levine, a partner at the Washington, D.C. law firm of Voorhees, Satter, Seymour & Peace, is on a panel of experts at the 1999 National Association of Broadcasters Convention. And Bob, what is the FCC's criteria for something that is indecent on the radio?
The commission has the difficult, confusing, and oftentimes controversial task of administering the law in this area and deciding what is indecent and what is obscene. For a real history of the background of what's involved in this area, I suggest you grab a copy of our brochure in the back of the room, and that'll lay out all of the background and how we got to where we are today, and also include the relevant rules and statutes that I'm going to discuss, as well as a summary of FCC case decisions over the last year. If there are not enough of those, let me know. We'll get you a copy. Time doesn't really permit us to go into all of that right now. Nearly 2 months ago, I was on my way to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, to lecture to a class of law students on the subject of indecent and obscene broadcasting. And I had the radio on, and on the way up, the news came on, and there was a story about a shock jock known as Greaseman, appropriately named, having been fired from his job. And I'm sure you all heard about it. He was fired from his job after making remarks that could be called many things. Deplorable racial slur comes to mind first. His remarks were insensitive, vile, obnoxious, arrogant, stupid, maybe bigoted, condescending, and I said to myself, indecent. Then I had to stop. To me, it was indecent, what this man had said. It was almost obscene. But I'm not the arbiter of what is indecent or obscene for you to broadcast. And so what I think the definition should be really doesn't matter. I told the story in the class that day, and the students were just mortified by it. And their reactions were quite amazing. Of course, they're just all in the learning stage. None of them even know who George Carlin is. Talk about making you feel old. That was not comfortable. But you need to know the difference between obscene and indecent programming. And these terms have been defined. There are differences. There are differences in what you can air. Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 1464, and you'll find the language in the brochure in the back, specifically prohibits the broadcast of obscene programming at any time of the day. Doesn't matter. There are, with respect to indecent programs, certain limitations that have been laid out over the course of time, and the evolution of the law and the commission's rules, efforts of Congress, in Section 73.3999, the prohibition against obscenity, and also the fact that you may not broadcast indecent programming between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. Okay, now, you have to ask yourself, well, what happens if I go run afoul of these requirements? And the answers can cover quite an array of potential punishments for a station. Under the Title 18 provisions, a violation is criminalized. It is a criminal matter. It's not simply an FCC sanction. It's not simply a fine, but it is a violation of the criminal law. And that violation of criminal law can earn you up to a fine or up to 2 years in prison or both. A lot of people are not aware of the criminality aspect of this and the fact that it can lead to imprisonment. With respect to indecent language, the commission ordinarily will admonish a licensee, issue a reprimand. They can commence revocation proceedings, revoke a license. They more often than not, what comes out of these is a monetary forfeiture. Okay, so you really need to know the differences between obscene and indecent programming. And these have been laid out in court tests over the course of quite a number of years. In a case known as Miller versus California, which is a 1973 Supreme Court case, the court laid down a very strict three-prong test which had to be met in order for programming to meet the definition of obscene. Again, while this is in the handout in the back of the room, I just want to read it quickly. The first element of the test is whether the average person applying contemporary community standards would find the work taken as a whole appealing to the prurient interest. The second element, whether the work depicts or describes in a patently offensive way sexual conduct specifically defined by the applicable prohibition or state law, as it may be. Third, whether the work taken as a whole lacks any serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. If the programming that we're talking about meets those three elements of the test, it is obscene and cannot and should not be broadcast at any time. Now, as I said before, the other element that you need to pay attention to is in decent programming, and decent programming has also been defined by the courts, and the subject of indecency in broadcasting would not be complete without a discussion of George Carlin. It seems in the 70s a non-commercial station played a satirical monologue produced by Mr. Carlin. It was entitled Filthy Words. And any of you who know George Carlin and his material know that the man really is a very clever satirist. I'm still trying to figure out his question from 30 years ago. There are no blue foods, but that's not indecent programming. The name of the broadcast that was aired was called Filthy Words, and George Carlin went into a satire on seven different words or expressions that could be used in different ways, which really were not in the 70s, acceptable language. The outcome here was kind of a strange thing because the FCC reacted in one way, determining that language such as this was indecent because it described in terms patently offensive as measured by contemporary community standards for the broadcast medium, sexual or excretory activities and organs. I'm not going to go down the list of seven dirty words. If you want them, we'll find some way to get it to you.
Do you find that over a period of a few decades that the number of obscene words has actually increased in frequency and is becoming more prevalent on the radio?
Dramatically. And some of those words are regrettably perhaps acceptable in everyday language. In particular segments of society, they take on very common and public usage without the necessarily indecent implications that might have been attached to them in the 70s. The average, I'm speculating here, I'm picking numbers out of the air, but I dare say the average third grader standing at a bus stop knows at least five of those seven expressions. And it doesn't matter what you do as a parent to try to shield them. They're going to hear it at the bus stop.
From the bus driver, yes.
But that's usually because they're throwing things at them, Bill. So there's been an incredible evolution, and it continues. There was, from the decision involving the Carlin broadcast, the Supreme Court declared that there's a definite distinction between obscene and indecent programming. It also noted carefully that this was a decision that needed to be narrowly construed, because the Communications Act also contains Section 326, which absolutely, positively, in no uncertain terms, prohibits the federal government or any agency of the federal government from acting as a censor. They cannot censor your broadcasting. Now, the court did not limit the FCC's jurisdiction to regulate the area dealing with indecent broadcasting. They just said you can't censor it. Even at that time, the Supreme Court noted that those words, those seven dirty expressions, were not necessarily per se indecent or prohibited speech. But the manner in which they were used was so vulgar, so offensive, and presented at a time of day when a child riding with his father in a car could hear it, that in the context they were used, it constituted indecency and should be prohibited. The Court of Appeals did not go along with the FCC. The Supreme Court, however, as I mentioned, did. 16 years later, we take another major step in the case before the FCC, Infinity Broadcasting of Pennsylvania, which I guess, Chuck, was one of the early times that the FCC had to deal with a Howard Stern broadcast, which made specific references to sexual and excretory activities of the human body. The FCC, and I think wisely at the time, issued a mere reprimand and emphasized, again, wisely, that it was the context in which this language was used that made them indecent, that the words themselves may not be indecent depending upon how they were used. And as Lori expressed a few minutes ago, and was documented in a recent issue of Variety magazine, television is changing and evolving very, very rapidly. NYPD Blue, you're probably all familiar with the episodes, and I'm not just talking about somebody's hindquarters being shown. It's taken major steps recently, but again, that's beyond 10 p.m. It's in what we call the safe harbor hours between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. when it is not unlawful to broadcast indecent programming. But this article in Variety also pointed to a new show called Pain, running on CBS, which apparently is making some additional strides. It mentioned Ally McBeal and some of the language that's used there, and that, I guess, is a show that does run during the restricted hours. And they're going right up to the edge. The Today Show, Matt Lauer recently interviewed an Orthodox rabbi on the subject of kosher sex and so forth. These are topics which years ago would never have been discussed. I think what we went through as a nation on the political scene over the last 15, 16 months, you know, may have signaled a change in a lot of what we're going to see and hear, because in prime time hours, in early morning hours, in mid-afternoon hours, before, during, and after children's programming, you were hearing reports on what was coming out of the Kenneth Starr investigation with the president and Ms. Lewinsky. And these are things that in a different context might take on the mantle of indecency and get a station in trouble. There is no exemption, there is no news exemption in the rules or in the case law for indecent programming. However, it has been carefully noted that it is the context in which this language is used that really matters.
On the next edition of the DX Audio Service, we'll take a look at the station's public file and how you can comment on their performance.
You're hearing the sounds of radios from around the nation and around the world. This is the DX Audio Service. Sternberger back in your ears with part two of our Seattle-based Clear Channel band scan, recorded last October during the NAB radio show. Now let's see, we left off with
Hot Talk 1080, Hot Talk, KOTK, Torsa.
It's 4 o'clock. CNN Radio News. I'm Stan Case.
Okay, AM watchers of the world, unite. Here's another example of how some stations go to the trouble of simulcasting to add an AM audience to their FM, only to bury their AM station's identity in the station break.
KBKS-FM, Tacoma, Seattle.
I love you guys.
And KRPM, Seattle.
All day.
Your music for the millennium.
Today.
KISS 106.1.
Here's a nice signal from a respectable distance, augmented by a directional pattern.
Brought to you by Focus on the Family and Capital Resource Institute.
Move along this evening, and here's Haven Ministries. They're sponsoring Ray Orland.
At night, it can be a bother separating out the various 1110 signals, but we succeeded courtesy of the Kiwa Loop.
This is the first choice for news. The news station. News Talk 1110 KBND Bend.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Columns of Yugoslav army tanks are said to be rolling out of Kosovo.
And just a little farther west,
in Eugene and Roseburg, you're listening to 50,000 Watt News Radio 1120. KTNW,
from ABC News. I'm Pat. Catherine Smith, a wooden porch, a welcome mat, and flower pots. That's all that's left of a family's double-wide mobile home after a tornado tore through Corsicana, Texas, a town 60 miles southeast of Dallas.
KGEM on 1140 remains at 10,000 watts at night. Directional northwest.
Some things just happen naturally, like your original hit station, 1140 KGEM, Boise.
Now listen to the ability of the 7600 to slide away from interference. We'll start out with KSL on frequency at 1160. Then you'll hear some emerging splatter from Seattle's adjacent channel 1150. Then listen as you hear us move the radio up a couple of kilohertz. The audio gets brighter and the splatter goes into hiding.
You're listening to KSL Tonight with Kevin Stanfield on KSL News Radio 1150. Utah's news, traffic, and weather station.
Coming up on 10:59, that puts a lid on another edition of KSL Tonight with Kevin Stanfield. And stick around for CBS Radio Mystery Theater after the news. It's KSL Tonight with Kevin Stanfield. Stay sanitary. Have a great evening.
The News Watch never stops on News Radio 1160 KSL, Salt Lake City.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. The Middle East peace process moves to Maryland, away from the media glare and the political pressures back home.
1170 from Bellingham was a bit of a struggle. Ironically, they were doing a live broadcast from a neighboring hotel just a few blocks away from us.
Seattle Seahawks football on AM 1170, KPUG, Bellingham.
Folks, we're back. Pleasure to have you with us, too. My name is Mike Siegel, right here at the Westin Hotel in Seattle at the National Association of Broadcasters Convention.
We captured 1180 during the day when the noise level was certainly lower.
Calls include Seattle to Tacoma, Bellingham to Olympia, and vice versa. Tom Boyning, 1180, KLAY News.
Stay on 1180 AM, KLAY, Lakewood, Tacoma, your conversation station.
USA Radio Network News, this is Ron Jenkins.
Personality radio is certainly alive and well in the Pacific Northwest. Familiar names to some DXAS listeners like, I'm sorry, what was his name again?
His name is John Williams. Maybe you've heard of him.
He's a funny guy.
Whether you're in the car or at work, there's no better way to spend your time than with John Williams.
That was probably the top thing on my mind.
Not only do you get a veteran Portland talk show host, but you get household hints with Martha Stewart and Paul Harvey as well. So be sure to spend your days with somebody who's truly in touch with what's going on.
You know what? That's the right answer.
The John Williams Show. 10 to 2 on the station you depend on. 1190 KEX. This is the radio station you depend on for news, traffic, weather, and Portland Trailblazers basketball. 1190 KEX, Portland, Vancouver, Salem. From ABC News.
I'm Gil Fonch. An effort to help both sides with one buy. The federal government will buy up more than 1,000 tons of tuna from the West Coast to help fishermen there who can't get enough for their catch.
And you know, we always seem to catch at least one unfortunate station losing its way regarding legal IDs. Here's 1210 in Auburn Federal Way.
Finishing off 18, great all these last hour. It is 1 o'clock.
That's Wayne Phillips.
A happy weekend to you. Yeah, fast lane Phillips. That's I. Rolling out the feel good oldies back to back. Here comes Savar.
KPSG.
And when they go away at night.
We will continue with the locker room show, but first across the network, we're going to pause 10 seconds right now for station ID.
This is Bob Robertson. You're listening to the home of Cougar football, KREW, Sunnyside, Yakima.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the locker room show, hosted by me, Jeff Aaron, brought to you by Sterling.
Up the band we go to 1500. And since KSTP St. Paul sends so much energy in Seattle's direction,
We fully expected a pretty good capture, but we didn't factor in Duncan, British Columbia.
It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to the Valley's News and Information Station, AM 1500, CKAY.
Highway 1 had to be closed overnight between Golden and the Alberta border because of a severe snowstorm. RCMP reports several semi-trailers jackknifing because of the winter conditions. No one was injured in the mishaps. No word on when the highway could reopen.
Here's one of my favorite powerhouses.
See it tonight, read it tomorrow, or hear it now on News Talk 1510 KGA, Spokane's first news traffic and weather station. KGA.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. There are reports that Yugoslav Army tanks are rolling.
This is Dan Armstrong, and this is Sunny 1520, KKSN, AM, Oregon City, Portland, the memory station.
Yet through a budget, White House and congressional negotiators have called it a night, ending work on a $500 billion budget.
When we began this two-part series, we suggested there weren't very many stations pouring a directional signal into the Seattle area. KGA is one such, however, and KFBK is another.
There's more of me coming up right after the ABC News.
KFBK.
The most serious decision.
What is a high crime in this?
As Congress debates impeachment.
The abuse of trust is what fuels the Senate.
Hear the latest on KFBK.
It would be a violation of our own public
trust. We'll take
trust.
You live to the halls of Congress for the debate and vote.
Listen
about the president. Listen all day.
We've wasted so much
money. Or check in on the hour or half hour for the latest from the impeachment hearings.
I don't know if the president committed these crimes.
News, weather, traffic. Nobody covers them like News Talk 1530 KFBK.
From News Talk 1530 KFBK, Sacramento.
I'm Gil Fox.
In Casper, Wyoming, hundreds of mourners packed the church for the funeral for gay college student Matthew Shepard. Here's one of the more interesting signals to be found on 1540 Radio Saigon from Seattle.
Liên lạc bà Tina số 723-6337, 723-6337.
The views and opinions expressed on Saigon Radio are not necessarily those of the staff or management of KXPA or Multicultural Broadcasting.
Đừng lời mua nhà đang xuống thấp, muốn xây tiền mua nhà sao cho có lời chứ? Chỉ cần nhắc điện thoại gọi trực tiếp cho chuyên viên ngân hàng.
And that leaves 1560. We'd look for Bakersfield at night, but it doesn't have a chance because it's nicely covered by a local.
We have insurance specialists on staff trained to help you. We look forward to serving you and your family for years to come.
It's the heaven-bound train, 1560 KZIZ, Sumner, Tacoma.
Well, we've reached the top of the hour, and it's time for our church of the day. We will come with the Alabama State Mass Choir after the services.
And that's our Seattle area Clear Channel band scan. Kind of disappointing. Lots of noise, but maybe to be expected. Propagation wasn't all that good during the time we were there. But we're also a long way from some of those signals. This is Mark Dernberger on location. Next month, we're back home in Minneapolis to bring you a recording of WOR New York trying to bounce a signal off Mars back in 1938. And a fun look at the way most of us began our nighttime listening in private in a profile we call Pillow Talk. Ahead of us are stops in Michigan aboard the Ludington Ferry, in New York City, Death Valley, California, and wherever else our travels take us. I'm not a fan of hotel rooms, and yet I have to travel a lot in my business, so packing some radios makes life a whole lot more fun for me. And I appreciate the opportunity to share with you what we hear at each stop. If you have comments or contributions for our Clear Channel band scan, please email me at durenberger@teleportmn.com. That's D-U-R-E-N-B-E-R-G-E-R at teleportmn, TELEPORTMN.com. And thanks for joining us. Until we meet again, good listening, DXers.
Thank you very much, Mr. Durenberger. That just about wraps up this edition of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for July 1999. Again, don't forget to sign up to the National Radio Club convention coming up over Labor Day weekend. I'd like to see you and all the DX Audio Service members there. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff. Get out and support radio.
Another public service announcement.